In Redlands, California, church, we have what is called message chat after Sabbath services. This is where members can ask questions of the presenters of the messages and make comments regarding those messages. In a message chat of 2 weeks ago, a comment was made about Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 15 through 22. Would you please turn with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter, and we're going to read verses 15 through 22. The comment that was made was in reference to a warning that if God did not cut short the great tribulation, that many in this time frame, and some people like to call it 3.5 years or 42 months or 1,260 days, whatever the time frame is that you want to associate with the Great Tribulation, that time period, that if God did not cut that time period short, that all life on earth would be destroyed. Well, let's quote this scripture and see why such an interpretation could be made regarding these verses. So let's read here in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and let's start reading in verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. And we're going to be going over there today. We're going to be going to Daniel, the 12th chapter, where it's spoken of by Daniel the prophet, the abomination of desolation. So just keep this in mind. This is all part of this here, what they call the Great Tribulation. Matter of fact, I have the New King James Version, which I'm reading from, and the title above verse 15 is The Great Tribulation. So that's what we're talking about here in verse 16, let's say. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Verse 21. For then there shall be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, upon first reading of these verses, it most certainly seems plausible that it is saying that the days are going to be shortened, this great tribulation, this time frame, this period of time, and that if it wasn't shortened, that all flesh would be destroyed. Now, it is reasonable and logical deduction that when, if we can make these verses talking about the Great Tribulation be cut short for whatever you want to talk about regarding the time frames, and for the purpose of this message, whenever I talk about the Great Tribulation, we're going to see that could be in reference to 3.5 years, 42 months, or 1,260 days. They're all sort of like synonymous with the Great Tribulation. Therefore, the purpose of this message is to answer the question, will the Great Tribulation be cut short at the end of this age? Point number one is this. Specific prophetic time frames will not be cut short. Point number one is this. Specific prophetic time frames will not be cut short. Please turn with me to Revelation, the 11th chapter. Revelation, the 11th chapter. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. Now, to properly answer our question about the Great Tribulation being cut short, we need to look at various scriptures where the time frames regarding the length of the Great Tribulation are being used. And here we can find a couple of examples. And let's start reading about this first one here in Revelation, the 11th chapter, and in verse 2. But it says, leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underneath for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Now, here we can see that Revelation, the second chapter, verses 2 and 3, equates two periods of time, 42 months and 1,260 days. I'd like to call this to your attention that these two time frames are actually the same, because from the way God looks at time, a month is 30 days. And if you have 30 days and you have 42 months, you multiply them together, what do you come up with? 1,260 days. In this reference to the length of time for the Great Tribulation, it is obvious, and this talking about this particular time here in Revelation 11, 2 and 3, talking about what the Gentiles are going to be doing and this time that they are going to be treading the holy city and everything. It is obvious that the time frames are precise and that there's not going to be any shortening of these days. Now let's turn also over, just on my Bible, same page, to Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 6. And it says there, "Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days." Now, when it's talking about woman, in biblical prophecy, that can be in reference to the church. And it says here that for this 1,260 days, that God is going to protect that church. That's the true church that God is in reference to. Turn also over to verse 14 of this same chapter, and it's talking about this same time period. And the woman, it says in verse 14, was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a times from the present of the serpent. Now here, if you look then, and you compare verse 14 with verse 6, that the 1,260 days can also be interpreted as a time, times, and half a time. So what we're seeing then, that we can tie all of these different time frames together to equal the same time frame. They're not different. I don't care whether you want to look at it as 42 months, 1,260 days, 3.5 years, time, times and a half a time, whatever you want to look at it as, this time frame is the same. Please turn with me to Revelation, the 13th chapter, verse 5, just so we get all of these time frames together. It is important, because we're going to see, whenever we talk about this time period of 1,260 days, that there are going to be things transpiring just before it occurs. And it's going to be important that we understand what those time frames and what they are. Now, here in Revelation, the 13th chapter, verse 5, "And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, that he was given authority to continue for 42 months." This is just another reference showing the time frames, how they all tie together. I'm not going to go into any of the detail on this. Whenever I gave the sermon 2 weeks ago, I went into great detail here in chapter 13 and who the beast and the time frames and all of this really is talking about here. John, when he's standing on the sand, he sees the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Once again, that time frame is not going to be cut short. Now, it is kind of interesting talking about the precision of some of these time frame references. The reference here in Revelation 13:5, the 42 months, like we went over in the sermon 2 weeks ago, where it talks about the 42 months can also be deciphered as 1,260 days. And using the day for the year principle, the time frame depicted then would be 1,260 years. And we know from history and genealogy and so forth that that time was from 554 B.C. to 1814 B.C. That was whenever Napoleon was defeated at Waterloo. Now, when we discussed this message 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the effect that BRICS would have on the end time events. And here we can see then that once again, these time frames are very, very specific. And there is no shortening of these time frames. God doesn't say, the two witnesses are going to prophesy approximately 1,260 days. That's not what he says. He said that's what they're going to do. They're going to prophesy for that long. Now, we can tie all of these time frames together and make it even more interesting and logical if we go to Daniel, the 12th chapter. Remember in Matthew 24, it said those that have understanding will know what it talks about when Daniel sees the abomination of desolation set up. So let's all turn to Daniel, the 12th chapter, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 13. And here, once again, we're going to see these time frames that are so specific. There's just really not any wiggle room here whatsoever. And one of the reasons why I think that this is encouraging to us is that God can look down through history, thousands of years down the road, and he can tell you when events are going to occur, when they will start, when they will stop, to the very day. Boy, that is, I can't imagine that kind of power. That is just beyond me. I can't even prophesy what I'm going to do, how many cups of coffee I'm going to drink in the morning. Well, I think I'm going to have three, but I'm not for sure. Look what God can do. Where does that put us? Now here, let's start reading in Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble. This is a unique time, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Now, of course, this is in reference to the fact that this time of trouble, which is unique, we went over this 2 weeks ago. This is in reference to that time of tribulation. And it says there will be a time when your people shall be delivered, when your name is written in that book. Well, then you're going to be a part of the first resurrection, the first fruits, those who for 1,000 years, that millennial rule with Christ in Jerusalem, ruling over the earth. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awaken, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, there is a vast time frame between some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. What is that time frame? Anybody got any ideas?
1,000 years,
right. Thank you, Doreen. The first ones here, that's the first resurrection, everlasting life. Those to shame and everlasting contempt, those are the people who had the opportunity to be a member in God's church. They were here, but they just fell to the wayside. Those are the people who will be in the third resurrection. Those are the people that, you know, they say, hey, I don't want to go along with God's way. And God says, okay, if you don't want to, I'm not going to force you. You know, but you're not going to sit around here and make life miserable for everybody else. Verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Now, here, we know what we're talking about. This is just before the return of Christ. So, you know, Daniel wrote this thousands of years ago. But the time frame we're talking about now is today, right now, within the next couple of years here, whatever that time frame may be. And it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank, and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And I heard a man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, and he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. Now we know that that right there can be the reference to 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years. And then when the power of the holy people shall be completely shattered, all of these things shall be finished. So here we can see that it's talking about a time frame that goes right up to the very day, 1,260 days. And at that point in time, that's it. That's the stop. So that right there is the end. Okay? We're going to talk about a couple other time frames that will talk about that stop too, but have longer time frames, just in a second here. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, "My Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end." Daniel didn't realize how far down the road this was, but it was a long time before that time of the end. And many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand this, but the wise shall understand. That's the way it has been in God's church for thousands of years. There are those of us who understand that this is the Sabbath. That's why we're here. That's why you guys got in your car in 113 or greater heat, whatever it was. Yeah, maybe you didn't even have any air conditioning today in your car, and you came anyway. I was talking to Dennis, and he said it was 85 high up there yesterday where he lives in the mountains. I don't even think it got down to 85 where we live in our home until about midnight last night. It was hot. That rotten Dennis, boy, I tell you, he's got a life of leisure up there. Now, verse 11. This is kind of interesting. A lot of people don't understand what this all means. People have tried to decipher it for quite some time. I remember 45 years ago when my wife and I were first being called in the church, I read this and I said, wait a minute, we're talking about 1,260 days and then we got another 1,290 days and then we got 1,335 days. What in the world is God talking about here? Well, let's see what it says. And it says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, what does that mean? Number one, we know that the basic time frame that we're talking about here of tribulation is 1,260 days. But something is going to occur 1 month before that, at 1,290 days. Remember, it's 1,260, 1,290, you got 1 month. So 1 month before the Great Tribulation all starts, something happens. What is it? It is the abomination of desolation is set up and the daily sacrifice is taken away. Remember what we read about over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 15, where it says, those with understanding, whenever you see the abomination of desolation that is being set up, get ready, time is really close. You're within 1 month. 1 month. Do we understand that? So whenever we see that abomination of desolation set up, that is, if we're going to be here at that point in time to see that set up, you're going to say, wow, tribulation, the real trouble on this world, and then we're going to find out very shortly here, especially the descendants of ancient Israel, is about ready to take place. But there's something else that we need to see and study here in verse 12. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Oh, wait a minute, what does that mean? Let's go back now and define our very specific time frames. We have already talked about the 1,260 days, 42 months, 3.5 years, times, time, half time, all that other stuff. That is the basic time frame. Here, were saying that something is going to occur at 1,335 days. That's 75 days or 2.5 months before that time frame that we've been talking about occurs. Something occurs 2.5 months before the start of the Great Tribulation. Now we know 1 month before it starts, the abomination of desolation is set up and the daily sacrifice is taken away. 2.5 months before tribulation starts, something else happens. And it says in verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes to that 1,335 days. Who are the blessed? I think that we can say it's those of you sitting here in this room in the really hot weather outside, keeping the Sabbath the way we're supposed to. Please turn with me to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. As we think about Daniel, the 12th chapter, and especially verses 7 through 12, it's talking about three major events prior to Christ's return. The events are the blessing at the 1,335 days, that was verse 12. The abomination of desolation at the 1,290 days, that's verse 11. And the beginning of tribulation at the 1,260 days. As the church has long taught, a blessing is pronounced upon us, God's church, who wait and endure until the 1,335 days. It's approximately 1,335 days prior to Christ setting up the kingdom of God here on this earth. That is a quote from the Good News, January 1980, page 23. But what is this blessing? Now, when you're in God's church, whenever you keep God's law, you do things God's way, you get a lot of blessings. You also get a lot of trial and tribulation as you go through this life. I think all of us can say that. Is there anybody here that can say you don't have tribulation in your life? Well, of course you do. You also have blessings. And God takes care of us, and he's going to show us one of these blessings that occur at the 1,335 days. Here it is. Let's read about it. Revelation, 3rd chapter, verse 7. The faithful church. That's the title in my Bible. And it says to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. That's been us. We have that key to David. We understand the job that God has given us to do. We are proclaiming the gospel to the world via the internet, primarily right now. A tremendous tool, because it just goes around the world. Now, I look out here in the audience, and I'm not trying to be derogatory or anything, but a bunch of you are just old guys like me. And so, you know, to us, the internet and, you know, texting and all this other stuff isn't like it is to the 15, 18, 20-year-old. They're all kids, you know, barely out of diapers. You know, for us, I drive in, we were coming over here to services, and this individual was, every time you have a car, they're invariably in the fast lane, and there's about 50 cars in front of them. I know what they're doing. It's somebody probably young, and they're texting, and that is true. We got up, I said, you know, flash lights, go around them, and what they're doing, you know, sign language, I don't know, but they're playing with their little computers and everything. Well, that is a very powerful tool, because it is a good way to disseminate information around the earth. Like over in China, they don't have, you know, like telephone lines. This was some time ago. They didn't have the telecommunications that what they have today. Everybody got onto the idea of a cell phone, and boy, boom, went right straight through the roof. Everybody now has got a cell phone. Communication is now fantastic, excellent. Anyway, verse 8, I know your works. Yeah, we've got the Beyond Today program, television program. We produce booklets after booklets and send out all sorts of stuff. Matter of fact, this sermon that we're talking about here today, it's going to be put on the internet. There'll be people, maybe they'll listen to it. Maybe they'll learn something. Who knows? And it says, see, I've set for you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you, because you have kept my command to persevere. In other words, we have been doing what God has told us to do. We are proclaiming the gospel to the world as best we can. Now, years back, we were doing a lot better job. I remember whenever we were putting out 9 million Plain Truth magazines every month in 5 different languages going around the world. We can't do that now, but, you know, actually the amount of people that we probably touch may be even a lot more than 9 million because of the internet. I also keep you from the hour of trial that shall come upon the entire world to test those who dwell on the earth. That is one of the blessings that it was talking about in Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse 12. What is that blessing? It was talking about the tribulation that's coming up. And guess what? When that tribulation comes, God is going to protect us, and he's going to keep us from that hour of trial that affects everybody else in the entire world. No matter what happens, we will be protected. Only the Father knows the precise timing of these end time events, Matthew 24, 36. But the times of great tribulation are coming, and including a time of famine of hearing the word of God, Amos 8, 11. You know, I was just wondering, I don't know that for a fact, but if we are all gone at the 1,335 days, then who's going to be running the work, the internet and all that other stuff, putting the message out there? There'll be a famine. People be running around saying, hey, you know, they used to have an internet. What's going on? I don't know where it's at now. Where is that work? We do know one thing, that what happens is God is going to keep us, those who have persevered, from the hour of trial that comes upon the entire world. Now, as we read about these time frames and the context in which they are used, it seems that there will not be any cutting short of time for any of them. If the time frames for the 1,260 days are fairly well set in stone, and I think that we can say that they are, then what is going to be cut short? What is going to be cut short? Matthew 24 said something was going to be cut short. That brings us to point number two. Point number two is this. The time of Jacob's trouble will be cut short. The time of Jacob's trouble will be cut short. Let's turn back to Matthew, the 24th chapter. And let's read this here again and get an idea of what God is trying to tell us here in these scriptures. We'll read verses 15 through 22 again, Matthew, the 24th chapter. Now, one of the keys to understanding prophecy is that there can be duality in the interpretation of scripture. By duality, I mean that God can have more than one meaning, more than one interpretation of a particular scripture. Now, for example, in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 42, Christ told his disciples to watch world events and to what's been going on. You know, keep an eye. What's happening around you? But as soon as he said that, in Matthew 25, he starts talking to the 10 virgins, and he says, hey, you guys are asleep, you know? So what he was saying is, in duality, yes, watch world events and see what's going on, you know? See if you see the abomination of desolation being set up. But Christ is also saying, and remember, forget about the chapter settings. This was Christ speaking privately to his disciples all the way through both 24 and 25, those chapters of Matthew. He was saying that, yes, you need to keep an eye on the physical world events, but you also need to keep an eye on your spiritual well-being to make sure that you're doing things the right way. And it's easy. It is easy. I remember when my wife and I very first came into the church, well, the church was growing like mad. There were people everywhere. I remember that we went to the feast site back in Wisconsin Dells. Yeah, that's where it was. 12,000 people at that feast site. I remember the first feast site that I went to, my wife and I were what was called housing monitors. That was in Tucson, Arizona. They had a convention center that would handle about, 10 or 11,000 people, seat that many. I think that's how many people were there, 10 to 11,000. It was just jammed everywhere. But look at us today. We couldn't come up with 11,000 if we put all of us together. Things change. People aren't watching their spiritual conditions. That's what we need to be doing. But let's see what this duality can be. Whenever we're talking about a time of Jacob's trouble will be cut short. Now let's go back and let's read again Matthew the 24th chapter verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Now, I think we all have a better understanding than we did 20 minutes ago when we very first started talking about this particular prophecy, don't we? Verse 16, and let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, is this saying those who are in Judea and the United States and Canada and South America and Russia and Africa? No, it's talking about Judea. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Who's thinking about the Sabbath? Is it the Chinese? Or the whole nation? Or India, for example? India's got something like about, 2 or 3 billion people like China? Are they all keeping the Sabbath today? I don't think so. No, of course not. So who is this talking about? Well, it's talking about people that, you know, God has set aside. Those are the descendants of Israel. That's us, you know, God's church. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, the elect's sake. Now, the elect, is that also China and India? They've got a couple of billion people. Are they the elect people? No, their time is going to come. They will have a time to decide to go and live God's way. But that time is not right now. Who is this in reference to? It's in reference to us. Please turn with me to Jeremiah the 30th chapter. Jeremiah the 30th chapter. We went over this 2 weeks ago, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time, but we do need to understand that there is a time of trouble that is coming upon God's people. And it's in prophecy, it's called Jacob's trouble. Now here in Jeremiah the 30th chapter, let's start reading in verse 3. For behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, that I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Eternal, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now, of course, this is at the end of the Great Tribulation. Something occurs that puts them into captivity to start off with. Now, these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For in, thus says the Eternal, I have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with a child. And see, and why do I see a man with his hands on his lions, and a woman like a woman in labor? And all faces turn pale. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. Now we know this is that unique time of tribulation. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Saved out of it. Not just, okay, you guys went into captivity, and there's a whole bunch of you over here. And so what we're going to do now is God says, I'm just going to march you back over here to this land where you're supposed to be. No. This is in reference to a time of such calamity, such disastrous, such devastating, such deadful time that people are going to be dying left and right. To kind of give you an example about what I'm talking about, to kind of give you an idea of how bad this tribulation is going to be, that's going to be taking place here at this end time. Please turn with me to Ezekiel, the 5th chapter, verses 5 through 17. Now, the prophet Ezekiel wrote prophecies for his own day and the end time, many with dual application. We have talked about that, duality in prophecy. Well, Ezekiel, the 5th chapter, 4, verse 4, foretells that a fire would go out into the house of Israel. And yet the northern tribes of Israel had gone into captivity 150 years earlier. This prophecy that we're going to read about here in Ezekiel, the 5th chapter, was then apparently directed toward the last days, the time of Jacob's trouble. Let's read about it. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set her in the midst of the nations and the countries all around her. But she has rebelled against my judgments by doing wickedness more than the nations, and against my statutes more than the countries that are all around her. For they have refused my judgments, and they have not walked in my statutes. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have multiplied disobedience more than the nations that are all around you, have not walked in my statutes, nor kept my judgments, nor even yet done according to all the judgments of the nations that are all around you. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, indeed I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments in your midst in the sight of the nations. So here we can see that God is going to correct ancient Israel. That means ancient Israel of today, the descendants. And everybody in the entire world is going to be seeing what's going on. Verse 9. And I will do among you like I have never done, and the like of which I will never do again, because of all your abominations. Therefore the fathers shall eat their sons in their midst, and the sons shall eat their fathers, and I will execute judgments among you, and all of you who remain I will scatter to the winds. Can you imagine that you're so hungry that you would kill your own child and eat it just so that you would have something to eat? That's what's going to happen. That's the prophecy for Jacob's trouble at the end time. Get ready. God says that's what's going to happen. It'll happen. Verse 11. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all of your detestable things and with all your abominations, therefore I will also diminish you. Yeah, diminish is one way to put it. Let's read about it. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. And here is the diminishing that God is talking about. One third of you shall die of pestilence and be consumed with famine in your midst. One third shall fall by the sword all around you. And I will scatter another third to the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Think about this for a minute. people who study this kind of stuff, geology and history, and they put it all together and they try to figure out about how many tribes, how many people are around from the Israelite-type tribes. Well, that estimate is probably in the neighborhood of about 300 million, you know, give or take. But just for the sake of figuring and looking at what these here thirds are all about, it's an easy way to calculate it. Let's say that we have 300 million that's going to be corrected. It says that one-third of them are going to die with the pestilence. One-third is going to be consumed or be killed by the sword. That means that two-thirds of all of the people are going to be dead. Of the 300 million, we're now down to only 100 million. 100 million. Now, that's a pretty good load of people that are going to be killed. You say, wow, that is phenomenal. You think that's bad? Got news for you. It gets worse. Please turn with me to Zechariah, the 13th chapter. If the descendants of ancient Israel today in their modern nations were estimated at around 300 million people, that means 100 million would die through disease, famine, and et cetera, and another 100 million would die through war. The death toll of just these people alone would bring more deaths than all of the nations of World War I and World War II. Can you imagine that? That's what is going to happen with Jacob's trouble. Yet another 100 million will be scattered, pursued, and taken captive. And other passages show that only one-tenth of them are going to survive. Let's read about it here in Zechariah, the 13th chapter. Let's start reading in verse 8. And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that two-thirds of it shall be cut off and die. Okay, we already discussed that. That was over in Ezekiel 5. But one-third shall be left in it, and will bring the one-third through the fire, and will refine them as silver and is refined, and I will test them as gold is tested. And they will call upon name, and I will answer them, and I will say, this is my people, for each one of you will say, the Lord is my God. Now that is after the testing and the trial that the 100 million are going to have to go through, that last one-third. In Amos, the 5th chapter, verse 3, you don't have to turn there, I'll just quote it for you. It says, for thus says the Lord God, the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left, and that which goes out by 100 shall have 10 left in the house of Israel. Well, if you only have 100 from 1,000 that's left, what is that? 10%. If you only have 10 left out of 100, 10%, right? So 10% is what God's talking about. Is that what Isaiah says and confirms? Let's read what it says here in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 11. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the gates are laid waste and without habitation, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly destroyed, the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it and will return and be for consumption. So here we can see then that it starts off, God says, if we use 300 million as an arbitrary number, that 2 million are going to be destroyed right off the bat. There's going to be 100 million left. But out of that 100 million, only a tenth of that is going to be able to come back and possess the land that God wants them to possess. So that means then you start off with 300 million, you wind up with only 10 million. Wow, that is something else. As we have read in Jeremiah 30, chapter 30, verse 7, this will be a time of Jacob's trouble. But God is going to save Jacob's descendants from total destruction by cutting the time of their trouble short. Because if God didn't cut it short, no flesh would be left behind. But God is going to cut that time short. which now also leads then into our third point. And these two points have got to be correlated. The third point is this: the time for the end of this age will be cut short. The time for the end of this age will be cut short. Please turn back with me to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, the 24th. I know we've been going back and forth there a number of times, but there's some good information here that we need to understand regarding what the church has actually been teaching for years and years and years. And I will try to get through this here point as rapidly as possible, because like I said, the church has taught about this time frame. The church has taught about the fact that there is a millennial week. And the millennial week, there are six days, you know, and each day could be worth 1,000 years. And Sabbath, that millennial Sabbath, that's 1,000 years of Christ ruling on this earth. But let's read about some of these time frames here and what we're talking about in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that's Christ, the disciples came to him privately saying, and I've said this before, this is not the big crowds, this is for us in this room. We are the disciples. So what is Christ going to tell us? He said, tell us, when shall these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, age right here, the Greek word used is aeon, which means a specific age, an epoch, an era of time, a specific amount of time, you know, sort of not like the 1,260 days, but, you know, sort of like a larger time frame, like, say, 6,000 years and so forth. The Apostle Paul called the present era that began with Adam and Eve's sin this present evil age. And let me quote that for you from Galatians, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4. It says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age. That's what Paul was talking about. We are in that present evil age. Obviously, we're not in the millennial age when Christ is ruling the earth. So we're now in that 6,000-year time frame that is considered to be the evil age, because Satan is the one running the show. God is allowing Satan to run the show right now. And what is Satan doing? He is messing up everything he possibly can. Look on the world scene and see what is happening. Terrible. Yes, Satan is in charge. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, I'll quote that for you. We know that we are of God, and the whole world, which can be translated to this present age, lies under the sway of the wicked one. That is Satan. Satan is effectively the god of this age. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 4, and I'll quote that for you. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that's Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Satan, who is allowed to be the god of this age, his time, though, is limited. Maybe let me quote for you the Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verses 19 through 21. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the workings of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, that every name that is named, not only in this age, that's where we're at today, that's what we're talking about, but also in that which is to come. That's Ephesians 1st chapter, verses 19 through 21. Now, Paul and the other apostles understood that the end of this age that we're in right now, man's corrupt civilization would be wiped out, and a new era would be starting. Several scriptures indicate that we can expect a millennial Sabbath after 6,000 millennial years, after those days have expired. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:8, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." We've been over this before. The church has taught it. There's gobs of literature out on our website where you can pick it up and talk about the millennial week. So when one adds up the biblical chronology and the historical records, it is clear that the elapsed time since Adam and Eve has been almost 6,000 years now. And that means then that six of the millennial days have transpired. We're now ready to go into the seventh millennial day. That's when all of us, those who are going to be protected, will be a part of that millennial rule. Therefore, we know that no matter what happens, God will take care of us during that time of trouble just before that last millennial day is opened up and God rules this here earth. So to answer our original question regarding the Great Tribulation being cut short, we need to keep 3 points in mind. Point number one is this: specific prophetic time frames will not be cut short. The 1,260 days, God says that's what it is going to be, that's what it will be. Point number two, the time of Jacob's trouble, though, will be cut short. If God didn't do it, then there wouldn't be anybody left alive. They would all be dead. That's what they were doing. Remember, we went from 300 million down to only 10 million? The time of trouble, this year, end of this age, this 6,000 years of millennial time frame, that is also going to be cut short. So what is going to be happening here is that the specific time frames, they're set in stone. But when those their time frames start, that time, that 6,000 millennial years, that's what's going to be cut short. Do we understand that? Tribulation itself is not going to be cut short. That 6,000 years, this present age under the rule of Satan, that is going to be cut short. And let me just give you another. I know I'm running over time here, but let me give you just, I was speaking with a member of the Council of Elders some time ago. If I gave you his name, you know exactly who I'm talking about. We were discussing, you know, the 6,000 years and the time is going to be cut short. Remember, at the end of the 1,000 years of Christ ruling the kingdom of God here on this earth, that Satan is let out for a short time, you know, and he goes out and he does everything he can to mess up things. This individual and I were discussing, and we were thinking, you know, God is fair, right? Could it be that whenever God cut the 6,000 years a little bit short, God is so fair, even to Satan, that he will take that little time that was cut short and give it to him down at the end of the 7,000 years, the end of the 1,000 millennial year rule of Christ, setting up the government of God. I don't know. That's only an idea. I do know one thing. God is fair. Keep that in mind, no matter what we have to go through. Specific time frames for certain events can transpire. I think that they're set in stone. And once again, it shows how powerful God is, in that God can look down the road into the future and foretell when things will happen, even down to the very day. For those of us in God's true church, God promises to keep us from the hour of tribulation that will come upon the entire earth at the end of this age. Those promises are something that we can look forward to as a prophecy is fulfilled in the very near future.